31st, 2026. You're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 25, looking at verses 1 through 13 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Perhaps Today.
As an adopted child believing, have you come and received from his hand freely help, forgiveness, steadfast love? Watch your life. Be ready, he says, for I am coming, and my reward is with me, and behold, I will make all things new. Perhaps.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
There's anyone he has to answer to but himself. He did whatever he wanted to do, and he lived life to the fullest, and he was successful. And Jesus says, that's foolish. Now, the kingdom of heaven then, that leads us to this powerful parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And what we have described is the second coming of Christ in the common parlance and language of the arrival of a bridegroom at a typical Jewish wedding. Maybe these were the bridesmaids. Jesus is not specific here on any of the details. It's enough that we understand the imagery. That's all he's doing. And what's being emphasized, and the importance is, notice how he captures it with the coming of the bridegroom. The bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom is coming. Who? It's him. And when he comes, he's going to enter in the hall and the door will be shut. And there will be a great feast. And the first emphasis then is the announcement of his arrival, and then his arrival itself that is here captured. So you have this glorious announcement of his coming, his arrival, and then the arrival itself that the parable is really trying to capture for us. But the shocking statement to lead off here is, five were wise and five were foolish. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil. They took no flasks of oil with their lamps. But the wise did exactly that. They brought oil with their lamps. And the emphasis here is if you're going to go out into the night and you're going to come to the bridegroom's chamber, you're going to need a lamp. But listen, you can't take a lamp in the dark and light the wick without any oil. So you got to prepare, since it's a journey. You've got to walk. It's going to take time to get there. It's going to be arduous, but you've got to take oil in your lamp. What is Christ concerned about? Here's this point. The coming has been announced all throughout history, hasn't it? All throughout history. He's coming. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints, Enoch, to execute justice and judgment. All throughout history, this has been announced. And in the course of your lives, in the preaching of the gospel, this is what we have said. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Our very prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come soon, come quickly. And what have we experienced as a church? That he can come at any moment for our lives. Here's the driving point. There are many in this life who are not ready for this at all. And they have made absolutely no preparation and no thought about it. It's not there. The emphasis here, if you notice, Jesus is the entire absence of preparation. It's just not there. There's no thought to it. Entire absence. One pastor said, it's senseless neglect. It's total thoughtlessness. They don't believe that they could be the ones for whom he comes. Well, there are those who are ready, and then there are those who are not. That's how Jesus captures this. I go to the gym all the time and I talk with all kinds of various peoples. And I hear, I have many friends over there and we have great discussions. I hear all this human ambition at the gym. What we're going to do today and making a lot of money and the drive and success of life. And embedded in all the conversations, which could you get to even this discussion? Do you think there's a judgment to come? Are you ready for it? They'd look at you cross-eyed. Who is this weirdo? Psalm 49. I think Pastor Contreras preached this a few weeks ago. Their inner thought is their houses are forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. And if not, even if they will agree that at some point they're going to die, there's no concern about what happens after they die. And maybe the fault of that is the church, that we've all just wanted to be entertained to death, so there's no sense anymore that there is a judgment because we just won't give the message. Shame on us. So if you press people, there's no commitment to worship. There's no commitment to any church. There's no desire for fellowship. Think of what we saw in these saints that just died. You saw readiness. No, it's not a question. You saw readiness. They're fixtures in the Lord's house. That's what makes this hard. There's a little sense of the importance among some people of what we call the means of grace and to receive grace, and they don't take any church seriously, and they don't understand why we do this. And for many in Christianity, America is just a cultural phenomenon. It's a club. It's all Christianity is. It's just a club. Nice stuff. Point is, there are people leading very foolish lives. They're not prepared. And all of this is in contrast to the wise who take oil. And I was listening to Ben Sasse's interview the other day, and he's dying. So these interviews are very powerful, and I thought, you know, his political life was remarkable of what the Lord used for him to accomplish in this life, but probably his best moment is right now. I started thinking, maybe that's exactly what the Lord had for him to bless us. He's a sharp cookie. And I listened to that interview, full of tumors in his spine. He can barely sit there, sad shape. All he's talking about is the hope of the resurrection. And he talked about a cemetery amidst all the graves. And he says, you know, we probably need to go back out to cemeteries again and just walk them. And he's talked about this particular cemetery, this old cemetery from the 1800s. And he says, all these graves, and then over the grave is a sign. But the dead shall rise again. But the dead shall rise again. And he says, I tell my kids now, looking back over life, I wish. Now, this is, do you listen to the dead who are dying? Do you listen to what they have to say? I wish I'd have taken the Lord's Day more seriously. Because this day is an antidote to all the idolatries that we fall into in this life. Ben is teaching us right now what being ready looks like. And what is the testimony of the dying? All of us are going to have regrets. That's life under the sun. You're all going to say, I wish I'd have done this better, and I wish I'd have done that better, and I wish I'd have never done that. All of us are going to have that. But it's where you turn in the midst of those things. This captures precisely readiness. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. John Bohr showed me readiness all the time. Andy Van Dee showed me readiness all the time. This is how the Bible describes you, beloved. 2 Peter 3 speaks of us this way, but according to his promise, we are waiting. See, it doesn't say, well, we're not really. No, you're waiting. You believe this. For the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. You're waiting for that. You believe that. That's coming. Oh, I don't think you do it perfectly. I don't do it perfectly. Far from. And the reality is, we often don't feel very ready. That's what makes this a challenge, doesn't it? But if you are in Christ, we are not of those who shrink back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul, said the author of Hebrews. We are not of those as those of which this day will overtake as a thief. We're not those. See, there's a line of demarcation here that Jesus brings in this. Complete unreadiness and complete readiness. It's a shock. But then he surprises us in the midst of this. I think he knows our struggle. See, if you get cancer and you waste away for 6 months, or you die from a heart attack, the outcome's the same for those in Christ. You're forgiven. He has watched your life. You are a ready people. You are hopeful people. This is who you are. You belong to him in body and in soul. None of the truths of the gospel we confess are absent from this parable that challenges us. Now, nobody says that's easy. I am not going to be up here grandstanding today saying this is easy. Preceding the announcement of his coming, Jesus says, when the bridegroom was delayed, that's right now, they all became drowsy and slept. You could make nothing of that, but I think you should make something of that. I don't often feel ready. Prayer is weak. Trust is not what we want. We struggle with every kind of worldly lust under the sun, just like everyone else. I think Jesus recognizes that struggle here. But it's what's here that is meant to help us is what shines. Remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus is going to the cross, and he says to his disciples, watch, pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 3 times he comes back, and what are they doing? They're asleep. Who? Disciples. And here's the blessing of his word. Look at what he impressed upon us this week. Well, what did he do for us this week? It's an awful thing to see the sufferings of our brethren and death. I can barely take it, and more especially as I get older. But it seems to me that the Lord takes moments like this and orchestrates. I mean, come on, the sermon title is Perhaps Today. I didn't plan that. And he takes moments in his providence to impress a truth upon a congregation in a strong manner. You know this story. I tell it because I think it's so important. At least it was for me in my own formation as a pastor, but it was Eric Fenema. He was a member, he was a pastor in our churches, 58 years ago. I was young, I was a lot younger, and I preached for him in Lethbridge, and we built this bond and friendship. David and Jonathan. I love this man. And he says, hey, when I'm down in Linden sometime, I'll come see you. And I said, well, why don't you do better? Why don't you just preach? And so he happens to show up on the time when Zach, my third, had just been born, and we're a little tired. And he offers to preach. So he comes to preach for us at the Linden URC, and he opens up, and the text that he chose was Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Watch. Be ready. For you don't know the day nor the hour. It's one of my favorite sermons. I still remember him preaching it. And he said, watch your life. Be ready. And we sat together at dinner that night with the Kamingas and the Finemas. And next Saturday comes. And I'm sitting down getting ready for Sunday. I'm emailing you to tell you the sad news today that Reverend Finema went to be with the Lord. He had a massive heart attack and died. I fell out of my chair. His last sermon was this. And his last sermon was to us, not his congregation. You don't think there's a message in that? And it happened today, last night. That's not coincidental. It's the Lord. What am I saying about preparation then? He's doing it for you. That's what I thought about. He's doing it for you. He's preparing you. That's the blessing of being under his word. That's the blessing of the church. That's the blessing of the kingdom of God. That's the blessing of being part of a family like this. Uncomfortable as all this is, he's got something so much better. He wants us ready. And so he does things that are reversed to us. He does things that are backwards to us. Those are his purposes, and you can't figure them. His ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts. But back to the main concern of Christ to close this today, is that many are not ready. Many are not thinking about this. And he describes it. He says in verse 6, at midnight there's a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. We've been preaching. We've been preaching Jesus for a long time. We've been preaching, come to him, believe. And then all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, wait, what? Come back to that. What we have here is the moment, most likely, if you're putting this together, when Christ said, then the sign will appear in the heavens, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. It's capturing for us a moment. There will be a great trumpet sound. There'll be a great sound, an announcement. He's coming! He's coming. He's here. On that day, to be glorified in his people. 1 Corinthians 15, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Then the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Not a day of dread for you. It's those who love him and his appearing. But Jesus pushes us with the foolish. They get up. Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. The wise said, we can't. You can't give our oil. You got to go get it yourself. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And they went into the feast, and the door was shut. And you see what he's concerned about. You see how pastoral he is here. Watch and be alert. He's coming when you don't expect it. And the virgins come, the foolish ones, open, open to us. But he says, I do not know you. See, he never knew them. It's the same sort of language when the ark door was shut. and the kingdom was shut forever. And there were people on the outside. And what is clear is that there was no faith throughout the course of their lives. Did you hear me? There was no faith. There's no belief. Their whole lives told that story. You've seen ready saints. And you've seen those. You know this. You've seen those who are leaving unbelieving lives. Don't do that. If you can say today, I have believed the gospel, and I have looked to Christ, and I have come to him in true faith, and I believed, you are a ready people. You've been justified by, you are a ready people. You see? And the life that you now live, you live by faith. And yes, we in the Heidelberg is just right. We begin to put off the old and put on the new. And we begin to walk in the newness of life. And we look forward to this. Turn to the Lord today if you've not come. Repent and believe the gospel today if you have not come. Hear the call of the gospel. It's the day of salvation. It's the day of mercy. And that's why ends the parable. Watch, therefore, you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming. So then come. You come today. And I close with this question. Does it show in your joy to worship him? Are you burdened by your sins? Are you looking to his provision, God's provision of the Father giving his Son? Do you confess to the Lord and come to him as an adopted child believing? Have you come and received from his hand freely help, forgiveness, steadfast love? Watch your life. Be ready, he says, for I am coming, and my reward is with me. And behold, I will make all things new. Perhaps today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Heavy hearts, we come realizing you have done a great work of preparing our hearts by leaving the witnesses of servants like what we just had witnessed in Andy Van Dee and John Boer. And we pray, O Lord, that we would take note of these examples and that we, Lord, would be a new generation that rises up and steps into that place, that we might model well to a next generation what ready servants are. Forgive us, Lord, for often looking back to the things of this life and even sin that easily ensnares us. Cleanse us. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. May every last one of us be looking and hastening for the coming day of God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time to hear more of God's Word from Pastor Chris. Until then,